Not many people in the world have the opportunity to be part of COP7 CMP7, but with the telepresence at COP17, this is possible. The aim of the telepresence is to bring power to the in-person to COP17. We had an exclusive interview with project lead Hendrik Michael Shia, who explains to us what telepresence is all about. Could you please explain to us what is telepresence?
Yes, absolutely. So telepresence, as we have put into operation here at COP17, is really the state-of-the-art video collaboration tool. It's life-size screens. It is real-time audio and video. No interference, no delay. So it's actually like we're sitting across from each other right now. It could be our table here cut in two with thousands of miles in between, and you would have the same kind of immersive experience.
Now, how does telepresence work?
So telepresence is what we call a collaboration tool. It's essentially an application that rides on an IP network. It can also ride across the internet. So as long as you, in each end of those that communicate, have the equipment that is able to leverage this exchange of IP packets, you'll be able to have this virtual meeting space.
What are you aiming to achieve at COP17?
We aim to really achieve by it, here in COP context, you mean? Is really, first of all, to make it available for all of the COP17 participants to meet with their home countries. They have peers back home, all of them. You know, outside here of these rooms, we have more than 20,000 delegates negotiating on the topic of climate change combat, and they are all communicating heavily with their home countries. They can now do this via telepresence as well, by meeting with peers back home, doing media briefings, maybe having roundtable discussions with climate experts and all sorts of constituents back home in their home countries. So these rooms are connected to more than 150 similar rooms around the world and for free use for the participants here at the COP.
How is telepresence reducing carbon emissions?
Yeah, so first of all, I think I might use our own company as an example, because we develop this and we, of course, use our own systems. We eat our own dog food, so to speak. We have more than 6,000 video-enabled systems deployed across our company. We're a large global company. We save more than $275 million a year on travel in conducting our business. And we also have a very, very high utilization of these systems, meaning that we are much more productive per employee. On top of that, the green footprint is absolutely convincing. We are, across the past 4 years, we have in our shop alone saved the planet for more than 600,000 metric tons of greenhouse gas emission. So we do firmly believe that there are, you know, a lot of benefits, more or less, all across, all the way from productivity gains, time saving, travel cost saving, and savings on the emission.
COP17, how many people are using your services?
Well, so we are very, very, first of all, we are very, very happy to be able to collaborate with the South African government and with UN in putting this in place here at this largest global political event, which is the largest, as you know, the largest event ever taking place on the continent of Africa. We are having a big adoption, a huge adoption of this here. We're having prime ministers, various ministers, high profile UN officials leveraging it. We were even lucky to have the executive director of UNFCCC, Christiane Figueres, use it while addressing youth organizations all over the world. So it's put into different types of use cases, and all the way from these boardroom type rooms to the desktop. We have desktop video systems deployed at the executive offices here in Durban, but also in the bloggers lounge in the exhibition centers, as well as for general usage. So you could imagine that you could sit down, just grab a desktop video which is in the exhibition center and do a video call instead of a phone call.
And what is your goal after COP17?
Absolutely. We, first of all of this equipment, the services that is riding on top of this equipment, it of course needs some bandwidth. But apart from that, it's available through our different technology partners here in South Africa and elsewhere in Africa, of course. The rooms that we're sitting in right now, we're actually going to leave behind after the COP. We're transitioning them onto future operation in Africa, in South Africa, with government or in terms of public rooms usage. I believe one of them is going to Cape Town, and a couple of the other rooms are going to be repurposed elsewhere in the country. We're negotiating that as we speak, but we really want to leave it behind as a donation to the country.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.